morning will be taken out of Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 through 10. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verses 1 through 10. As soon as you have it, please stand. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Brother Allen, if you would, could you come up here and read that for me, please? Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10.
Galatians 1, 1 through 10?
Yes, sir.
Out of NASB. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me, to the church of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil day, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If you were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For our subject this morning, to some brief words, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. What I was trying to get at, what I was really talking about gift, Pastor, was if Audrey gives me a gift, and it's a free gift, and I try to pay for that gift, then it's not really what? A gift. If she gives me a gift, free of charge, knowing I bought me one of them concealable pistols. Blam! Oh, I shouldn't say that. And she gave me that gift. I said, hey, this is great, but I'm going to pay you back for this thing. Then that's not really a gift then. I'm trying to pay her back for what she's given me free of charge. Free is just that, free Christians. There are a whole lot of people out there that are trying to add on to what God has already done gift-wise.
Amen.
Oops, I knew I shouldn't have put it out there. What happened, let me give you a small scenario. I have an aunt who was in the Church of Christ. And we were having a heated debate over Carter's Institutional. We were down there for a family thing. And, of course, they believe that unless you're baptized, your salvation is tied to your baptism. And she was talking and talking and talking. And I say, what about if we look at the thief on the cross, did he have a baptism before he saw God in paradise? And she said, well, Well, this is what's going on. He participated in the death of Christ. That's why he didn't have to be baptized. Really? Really? A free gift is a free gift. I don't need to pull no money out to pay up. A free gift is just that. And then she said to me, she said, Billy, trust me, I wouldn't tell you nothing wrong. Really? Really? That's why I'm not going to tell you anything new this morning. What I want to do, I want to remind you to stay on your toes, because what Satan does, he gets inside your house, inside your family, and he give a doctrine, and they say, hey, I wouldn't tell you nothing wrong. Really? So I'm just here to remind you all. Free gift is a free gift. I don't need to add nothing to it. Listen, I can't do nothing to make God love me no more, Pastor. Because he shed his love on me already. Everybody got it right. I still loved her though, but I didn't listen to her. You know, she's... Two thoughts. The messenger is sent by God, verses 1 through 5. The second thought, the good news is the only way, verses 6 through 10. Paul makes a declaration of his apostleship. Why did he have to do that, Trinity? The problem was, listen, and brief history on Paul. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In his own estimation, he said, I am so learned until I was rising above my peers in Judaism. He said, I was a Pharisee of a Pharisee. Listen, he was a legalist for real. And listen, this legalist on a Damascus road, Acts chapter 9, the Christ knocks him down off the horse with his appearance, turns this legalist into a grace man. But the problem is, you still got other legalists in Judaism. They see this guy who was a rising star in Judaism turned to grace. So wherever he went to preach grace, they went right behind him. I'm here to tell you, Paul didn't give you the whole story. See, you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. That's somebody adding something on to a, what? Free gift. Now listen, you have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. That means that that Bible that you hold in your hand, you have to know that Bible and it has to know you. You have to know, listen, if you know a principle or some principles out of that Bible, you can go to, I don't know where you want to go in the Bible, but you can find that principle. That's why you got to know what you know. Okay, he's got people dogging his steps. And listen, this guy, in his writings, he just kept Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, in a book after book after book. Why? Because people are just following him, telling him Paul don't know what he's talking about. He ain't even an apostle, really. You say that so that you can get followers unto yourself. That's why Jesus was kind of in trouble with the establishment, because there were people that were following Jesus and forsaking the Pharisees. Listen, it says God the Father who raised him from the dead. That implies that there was some power inside that transformation of Paul becoming an apostle. I did not learn it from man. I didn't get that theory from the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Mormons didn't come to my door and convert me. I got that call from Jesus Christ. Where did you get yours, Judaizer? Because if there's anything added on to the gospel, it ain't the gospel no more. It's legalism. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 16. Let's go there. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 16. Everybody have your Bible, because I want everybody to keep my feet to the fire, make sure I'm saying the right thing in the right area. Amen. Sister McCauley's going to read for me here. I'm sitting.
Acts chapter 9, verses 10. Thank you. Now there was a disciple at Damascus called Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man.
Whoa. I've heard. Why in the world is my past dictating what you're going to do for me in Christ? People don't forget quick, especially when you was messed up. You all ever been in the world and been in some mess and somebody see that you're in Christ now? Say, not you.
Shoot. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. How much evil has he done to your saints at Jerusalem? And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.
Listen, without the Spirit of God in my life, I am condemning people that I should not be condemning. Are you listening to me? Without the Spirit of God showing me what's going on, these Judaizers were not filled with the Spirit. They saying he cannot be an apostle. How you know? Has the Spirit of God revealed that to you? No, he hasn't. And when the Spirit of God does not reveal something to you, you point fingers at people that you should not be pointing fingers at because you don't know the whole story. This guy, he was standing around the crowd when they stoned Stephen. They laid their coats at his feet, and that was a form of approval. Go ahead and kill him. Not only that, but he was persecuting the church. He had letters from the temple and the establishment. Go find anybody else that's in the way, and you bring them here. This is the man that God used. What? Come on now. I can say amen to that pastor because he used me. Yeah. Billy, I remember when? Really? How about now? Can you remember now? God has changed me, turned me around. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Listen. His next statement was that the one who sent me is the one who gives you grace. What is the definition of grace? What is the definition of grace in this context? Brother Ernest, stand up. Because I love you. That's all.
Show him some grace.
Amen. What is the definition of grace?
Unmerited favor.
favor from God, my brother.
Unmerited favor. I want your knees to go back. Unmerited favor from God. I did not earn it, but God saw that I needed it, and he gave me grace because I couldn't get there. The same one who sent me has given you grace. So listen, he has provided a way that you don't have to pay. Not only has he provided grace, but he's given you peace as a result of having grace. Listen, he gives you the whole package. And listen, what we tend to do, I don't care who you are, how long you've been in Christ, if you don't watch yourself, you'll be trying to walk back into the legalism. You still smoking, you still drinking, what's going on with that? Really, God ain't finished with nobody yet. Okay. The one he sent, which is Jesus Christ, and his mission was to die to save us. Save us from sin and death. All of this was due to the will of God the Father. God the Father determined that all of this would be free for us. Cost him the life of his son, but it's free to us. And anything added to that is kind of an affront to God. What my aunt was doing, whether she knew it or not, she was challenging the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Was it really true, Jesus, when you said on the cross, tetelestai, it is finished? Was it really true? Or was there something else to come? I feel pretty good now. Jesus, thank you. Woo, Jesus. Hey! Second thought. Now, if the gospel has been given and Jesus accepted, they have moved so quickly from the grace that was supplied them free of charge, which is found in Jesus Christ, to some other gospel, which is no good news at all. It is interesting that he says it is another gospel, and then he said it is no gospel. What he's saying is that Paul says, now the gospel I delivered to you is not the one that you're gravitating to now. You have adopted grace, but you're now sliding now into legalism. That is not the same that I delivered to you. I delivered the grace of Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, buried, rose again. I delivered that to you, but you're picking up circumcision. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. The question is, you all, and this would really kind of help a legalist, because they kind of looked at Abraham as kind of their father, Pastor. Was he saved before circumcision or saved after circumcision? Either one of those positions will align you somewhere in the text. Before circumcision or after circumcision? Everybody know what circumcision is? Circumcision is a sign that God had the male members of Israel cut into their flesh as a sign of the covenant. Cut away the old flesh, throw it away, signifying that you are in the covenant with God of Israel. I'll explain it to you later, because it's good. Listen, as in the Old Testament, what you see in the Old Testament is a shadow and a type of what's to come. What it was illustrating, this is what it was illustrating, that once you cut that away and you got rid of it, my old nature was cut away and I have a new life. But really, it was just talking about the outer appearance in the Old Testament. But the real thing, listen, Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you have heard that thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, they was good. We haven't touched nobody. Jesus rolled up on them and said, now, if you have looked at a woman and thought in your mind about having adulterous things with her, you've sinned already. So the circumcision was really something a little deeper that was going to be exposed. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 and 10. Sister Debbie, can you roll up? 4, 1 and 10. 1 through 10. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 10.
Romans chapter 4, 1 through 10. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works his wages are not committed as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? Mm-hmm. It was not after, but before he was circumcised.
Interesting. What it implies is that if it was before circumcision, he could be the spiritual father of the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Are you listening to me? He was not only the father of faith to the circumcised, but he was the father of faith also to the Gentiles who didn't have to be circumcised. Because the circumcision was really not only an external thing, it was supposed to be an internal thing of the heart. What it was pointing to was that the Spirit of God was going to get inside of the people of God, change their hearts. It was an external, it was an external sign, but it pointed to an internal work. That's just like me being baptized. It's some external, Pastor, but what it's really illustrating, what it's really illustrating is that, number one, I'm identifying with the one I'm being baptized in. I'm being baptized in Jesus. Listen, I'm being baptized into his death. And when they raise me up out of that water, hopefully the water ain't dirty. When they raise me up out of the water, I am raised to the newness of life. That's circumcision that's happened in the heart of Billy McCulley. When I don't curse like I used to curse, I can stay with one woman now because circumcision has applied to me. It all depends on which side of the fence you're on. Circumcision, uncircumcision, which one? Because if you're on this circumcision issue, you're a legalist like the Judas. Okay. Galatians 1:11 to 19. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 to 19. I'm almost through, y'all. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 to 19. Sister Carol, can you read for me? Yes, ma'am.
Galatians 1:11-19. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother.
Amen. Paul continues to say, I am the gospel I gave you. The Spirit of God gave it to me. I didn't get it from anybody else but the Spirit of God, period. That's why you can believe what I tell you. And if you can't believe that, look at my previous life and look at my life now. What sort of miraculous thing happened to make that go? What is the law? What is the law? Let me give you a brief illustration here. This is my living example here. Come over here. Audrey is a rich guy's son. And I am the law. My job is to make sure she gets where she needs to go and back safely. But that's my job. My job is not to save Audrey. My job is to point her to the one who could save her. If you look in the scripture, what happened is that the Jews were making proselytes, Pastor. They go a long distance to make a proselyte. And what they do, they put heavy burdens on them, but they themselves would not adhere to the law. Because the law itself is you can't attain it. Because it's not external stuff, it's internal stuff. And if you're thinking the wrong way, you've broken the law. Its business is to show me how sinful I really was and my inability to stop sinning. But it pointed me towards somebody that could fulfill it for me, and I can believe on him and I can be saved. The law's job, make sure I need to get where I need to go. Bam! It's finished. It points me to somebody who could get me the rest of the way, and that's Jesus Christ. It was not meant to save me. It was meant to direct me. The only one that saves is Jesus Christ alone. It points down the road, say, Billy, thou shalt not. What it's doing is it makes me say, I can't do this. And it frustrates me to the point, who can help me? Like Paul, who can save me from this body of death? Jesus! This body of death. Only Jesus. We get back to, this is a conclusion. I know y'all glad too. This is a conclusion. We are ambassadors for Christ. And what message are we preaching or living? Are we telling people the actual gospel of Jesus Christ? Or have we added something to the mix? The gospel brings with it freedom. That's what the Judaizers didn't like, Pastor. Y'all can't be saved strictly by the gospel alone. You have to add something to it. No, you don't. Jesus alone. Freedom from the demands of the law. With the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, we should be able to discern error. Well, I hope y'all got something out of this today. Jesus alone. The gospel alone. Nothing added, nothing taken away. And listen, God is not finished with people yet. Watch out who you're condemning, because like Paul, if you had saw Paul in the initial stages, you would have said that joker's on his way to hell. Really? You don't know the whole story. Cautious. Be led by the Spirit of God and be discerning. Amen. And also, listen, there are wolves that creep in among us. Error doesn't have to come, Pastor, from the outside. Hey, y'all, how y'all doing? I'm from, no. The roughest part of error springs up from the inside. And it's so subtle until, unless you're very discerning, you won't even know it. And no, I can't say nothing, because that'll hurt somebody's feelings. Really. If you're adding to the gospel, you're really defacing what God has already done. Brother Phil, I'm through. Jesus is the only way. Was it clear? Did you catch it? Amen. Amen. Afterwards, I'll come.